of this verse really has nothing to do with the character of angels. The emphasis is the coming of Jesus Christ. But what is mentioned with it is their character, and that will be one subpoint of three main points tonight. And so I want us to look, first of all, at the when. Notice that's the very first word, when the Son of Man comes. That time of when is not given. It's unknown. But notice that this is part of the Olivet Discourse that begins in chapter 24 of Matthew and here in chapter 25. And this is all in answer to the disciples' question that you'll find back in chapter 24 and verse 3. What's their question? Go back to 24:3. As he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately saying, tell us, next word,
when?
When shall these things be? And so Jesus then begins to answer their question, not by giving them a time, but by giving them signs and things that will be taking place. The exact time is not known. He specifies that in verse 36 of chapter 24. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. So the angels who are coming with him don't even know that day. All of a sudden, the command will go forth and he will come. From the context of the following verses in Matthew chapter 25, following verse 31, we know that this coming is not the rapture when he comes for us in the clouds. But it is his second coming when he comes to earth at the end of the tribulation, right before the millennium. Go back to chapter 24. Look at verses 29 and 30. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. So when is this? Immediately after the tribulation. Verse 30, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory, and he shall send his angels. So this is when he comes with his angels. Matthew 24, verses 29 to 31, it's immediately after the tribulation. So that is all we know about the when. But then we want to ask the who. It's the Son of Man and all the holy angels. Jesus is doing the talking when you read verse 31, and he refers to himself in the third person. So let's see, first of all, his arrival. He shall come, and he calls himself the Son of Man. That's an expression that you'll find in Daniel chapter 7 and verse 13. And I think that this expression, Son of Man, is founded on that passage where Daniel says, I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came. Now, the Jews were well aware of this passage in Daniel. And thus, they equated Son of Man with the Messiah. They are expecting the Messiah, the Son of Man. And so it's equated with the Messiah. Therefore, based upon that passage, Daniel 7 and verse 13, that deals with the coming of the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, they are looking for his arrival. And so this is an Old Testament reference that the Jews are well aware of. They're very familiar with it. And the Lord, Jesus Christ, uses this phrase frequently. In fact, more than 70 times he refers to himself as the Son of Man. Or somebody else does, but it's most often Jesus referring to himself in that way. And it is the oft-repeated claim by himself as the Messiah who is coming. There's his arrival. Then we see his accompaniment. And this is where we see the angels and we see their character is that of holy. Now, we know that they're holy because the Bible says so in other passages as well, like Luke 9:26. Would you turn to Luke 9:26 with me, please? And a couple of things I want to point out here. For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. There too, they are characterized as holy. But one more thing I want to point out in that verse. You see how unbelievers are described as ashamed of him? And now that unbelievers, those who are ashamed of him and of his words, he shall be ashamed of them. That's an admonition for believers. Listen, what does that say of a believer who's ashamed of Jesus Christ? What does that say of a believer who's ashamed of his words? That's quite something to think about when you think of witnessing opportunities you get, and you don't say something because you're ashamed. You're afraid of what somebody might think of you. That's quite the rebuke from the Lord himself. Their character is holy. Jude 14. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints. That word saints there is literally holy ones, and can refer both to angels and to us. How many? 10,000. You may remember this from the book of Revelation when we saw this in Revelation. Myriads is what the word there is, and it's basically innumerable. You can't count them. Can you imagine tens of thousands or 10,000s, plural, innumerable angels, saints coming with him at that time? Deuteronomy 33:2. The Lord came from Sinai and rose up from Seir unto them. He shined forth from Mount Paran, and he came with, here it is again, 10,000s of saints or holy ones. From his right hand went a fiery law for them. You know what? We don't know what the scene was like there at Mount Sinai, but it was awesome. It was awesome. So much so that the children of Israel that stood at the base of that mount said, we don't want this anymore. Moses, you speak to us. If this keeps happening, we're going to die. Think of the terror of being in the presence of God there at the bows, at the base of Mount Sinai. Now, we know that their character is holy too, because the devil has his own angels. You think they're holy? Did you memorize any verse, class? Did you memorize Matthew 25:41? And 46, look at verse 41. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. He too has a following of angels, and they are not holy. And so you've got this contrast between the angels of the Lord, and we know they're his angels because we saw that in Luke chapter, we saw that in Luke 9:26. You'll also find it in Matthew 6:27. In fact, let's go back to Matthew 16:27 just to note this. Matthew 16:27, for the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. And again in chapter 24 and 31, we already saw that, and he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Somebody made this point that Jesus Christ is no longer a homeless wanderer with just a handful of followers when he comes back. You know, when he was on this earth, people, he doesn't have that big of a following. He's got 12 men. There were more than that. But, you know, he maybe has 70, 80. We know there were 500 that saw it and witnessed his resurrection. So he had some followers, but it was no big deal. And so when people look at numbers, they go, I'm not going to follow him. There's not that many people following him. Well, listen, when he comes back, the crowd will be innumerable. And it won't just be people from on this earth. It won't just be humans who have been glorified. It will be all the holy ones, all of the angels, his angels, who come with him. And so that is their character. But I want you to see, secondly, their charge. What is it that these holy angels will be doing? Well, look at the context. Look at verses 32 and verse 33 of chapter 25. And before him shall be gathered all nations, And he shall separate them one from another as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. What is taking place here? Well, go back to Matthew 13, verse 41, and note what that says. Who's doing this separating? Matthew 13, 41, the Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. It is these holy angels who are charged with separating the sheep from the goats. One of my professors used to say to us when we were in ministerial class, he said, gentlemen, do not preach to the goats. Do not entertain the goats. Preach to the sheep. And I thought that was pretty good advice. I am not here to entertain the goats. I am here to feed the sheep. Now, this next point you might laugh at. Got to keep it alliterated. But I want you to think about that word, glory, that you see in Matthew 25, 31. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory. You know, we kind of pass over that word glory. It's doxa. It's where we get doxology. The other synonyms for that word glory are splendor, radiance, brightness. And we don't understand what is involved in that. Matthew Henry mentioned this. He said, Agrippa and Bernice came to the judgment seat. This is found in Acts chapter 25. And when they came to their judgment seat, do you remember what the Bible says? It says that they came with great pomp. The original word means great fancy. Everything was fancy. Everything was, oh, this is really neat. It's almost like seeing a parade and people coming by and they've got, you know, these outfits and it, boy, that looks so bomb, so opulent, and wow, that is so great to see. It's like fireworks. Wow, I've never seen some, the glory, the splendor, the brightness, the radiance of that. And that's what Agrippa and Bernice, that's how they came. But Jesus Christ will come in real glory. A glory that men have never seen before. Because his glory is the glory of God the Father. Matthew 16, 27 specifies, for the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels. Folks, it is a brightness that literally terrorizes man. It literally scares him to death. I don't know if you remember this in Exodus, but after the children of Israel had seen Moses go up on the mount, they didn't even go up where Moses went. And when he came down, they were pleading with him, no longer let God speak with us, lest we die. They were saying, we're going to be killed if this continues. We do not even understand the glory. It's the kind of glory that when John the Apostle sees Jesus Christ in Revelation chapter 1, the Bible describes him as falling down on his face as if he were dead. It is a glory we've never witnessed. His first appearance of the second coming is the rapture. And that will take place in obscurity. We're just going to disappear. But his second appearance of his second coming that takes place after the tribulation, he comes in his glory. And the Bible says, Revelation 1:7, every eye shall see him. I almost wonder when it talks about the battle that takes place, is if men will just basically fall dead when they see him. Except that it also says, all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. That's the wow. And then the why. Then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. Why will he come? To sit upon his throne, to mete out judgment. And again, what takes place is found in the following verses. And that word throne implies judgment. Judgment of whom? Go back to chapter 25 and verse 32. He should, before him should be gathered all nations. All nations. What an assembly. What a vast assembly. That is described in Revelation chapter 19. And let's go there. I know we've read this recently, but it's a passage that always sends chills up and down my spine when I realize that what takes place in Revelation 19 verses 11 and following includes us. Revelation 19, 11, and I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, as John saw him in chapter 1, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. We know that is us. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword. By the way, you better learn how to ride a horse because you're going to be riding one out of heaven. Verse 15, and out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that ye may eat the flesh of kings, and the flesh of captains, and the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. And I saw the beast, and the kings of the earth, and their armies, gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse, and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone, and the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. That's what's going to take place. That's what you see from Matthew 25:31. When he shall come, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, and us, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And so the judgment that you see in the remaining verses here in Matthew 25, the judgment's going to settle the question, who's going to enter the great millennial reign? Who's going to enter the millennium? Sheep on one side, on his right, goats on the left. And he sits on that throne as a king. You see that in verse 34? Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand. He also sits on that throne as a judge. Matthew 19, 28. The great question is, if he were to come today in his first appearance of the second coming, would you be taken to heaven with him? If not, you could very well be one of those at the end of the tribulation, remaining on the earth for the tribulation, who at the end of the tribulation would be called one of the goats. And by his holy angels, divided from the sheep. And taken away, cast into hell. And then after the millennium, the great white throne judgment, when all the dead are brought forth to the great white throne. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. But for those of us who know Christ as our Savior, we have nothing to fear. In fact, we have something to look forward to. We look forward to the first appearance of his second coming. And we look forward to the second appearance of his second coming because we come with him. I am so looking forward to that first appearance. Are you?
Amen.
Father, we look forward to the coming of your Son, Jesus Christ. And Lord, when you come, may we be watching. May we be ready. Watching because we are living a life that we would not be ashamed of. And we know that when you shall appear, we shall be like you, for we shall see you as you are. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as you are pure. So Lord, may we keep this hope. Not something that we cross our fingers with. This eager anticipation is that hope. Looking forward to hearing the shout and the trumpet, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with you. And all God's people said, Amen.